Your favourite audio horse racing podcast is back. Yes, welcome along to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by Tote Fantasy. On a weekend where the sun is out, the good flat ground is finally here, and there are Group 1s over the Irish Sea. There aren't many things better than this. My name's Sam Hart, taking you through this action-packed weekend of racing, and joined by a panel of similar status to the National Stakes winner at Sandown on Thursday night. It's the Racing Post, David Jennings, Robbie Wilders, and Tote Fantasy's Jamie Benson. Jamie, we'll start with you. We have to review last week's Tote Fantasy team. I think from what I remember from production perspective, it was fast out the blocks, but we didn't quite get home.
Yeah, that's absolutely spot on. I thought at one point there we were right banging the money because we opened strong with Shaquille. We then used our stewards well on Goldmark, who came, I think, third and boosted to second. Then we had Haskoy, and I thought, here we go, lads. I'm about to bag a grand off the Racing Post, lads. and then literally just properly put the brakes on. Expert agent didn't do it for us. Lieber Power, similar. And then moved Sarbeck also. So, yeah, no, it was touch and go. I think we ended up a couple of points outside the money, which was gutting in the end. But it means that the lads are seeing it well. I'm sure we'll go one better this time.
Yeah, hopefully so. We'll try and get some good points on the board. As always, look, do play this game. It's £7 to play. It's basically seven races, and we'll be telling you which seven races they are during the show, basically to equivalent of £1 per race. But you don't have to have every winner. That's the best thing about this. The play spot and race like that, there are like formats that potentially you can't get the money that you want to win, but you can actually come out with some losers, Jamie. That's right, isn't it? And still end up with the money. It's a fantastic feature.
Yeah, I mean, that was part of the reason why I sort of wanted to create fantasy. I was so bored of going out and play spot in the first leg. And so with this, yeah, a winner or two will give you a good chance of landing in the money, which is the top 25%. And also we have a private league, so you can play against your mates, even if you're probably not going to bag the big prize. You know, you can still play for bragging rights. And we've got the Racing Post private league as well, which we're putting up £25 of extra tote credit to everyone who, to the winner of that every week from between now and Royal Ascot. And then we'll have a bigger prize at Royal Ascot, but more on that to come at a later date.
Yeah, absolutely do get involved. Like I say, £7 play, you can go onto the Tote website and there's a Tote Fantasy link that you can follow and get involved. Let's get started then. And we kick with things off with Haydock, and we start with the 115 there. A mile and a half handicap, a Class 5 event. And Old Toon Loon is the 13-8 favourite. In the Breeze, 9-2. Come On Kenny, 6-1. Tiger Beetle, 15-2. Thunder Ahead, 10-1. Peripatia is 11-1. And Swift Tuttle, 12-1. Robbie Wilders, I'll come to you. How are things, sir?
Hello, mate. Yeah, doing well, thanks. A little bit cold. I've worn shorts today, but it might be nice later, but I'm a bit nippy in the office at the moment.
I've got a feeling that the summer is slowly coming. I think the short weather, I've seen plenty of people in the office wearing shorts, which is always good to see. We've got a bank holiday weekend, the sun's going to be out, but who's going to be winning the first race from Haydock?
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea, really. I'm actually pretty surprised this horse has gotten onto the RTV cameras, a Class 5, 0-75. It wouldn't be the sort of race I'd normally look at too closely. And I thought I'd play my pass card for this one and pass it over to the other guys.
Absolutely.
I tell you what.
I think they did this last week or a couple of weeks ago, ITV. I think Victoria Cup, they had like a Class 5 event on the all-weather to kick things off. But they've done it again here with a Class 5 event at Haydock. DJ, look, Robbie's played his pass card. There's no harm in doing that, but you've got to kind of find out the winner here.
Yeah, see, this is the difference between me and Robbie. I'm not as thick and ignorant as Robbie, because I looked at this race and spent the first 3 or 4 minutes going, "Oh my God, this is awful stuff." And you know, I'm just gonna pass on this. And I said, "Oh no, it's the first race we're previewing. I can't do that." So I had to delve deeper. And the one that I've come up with is "Come On Kenny" for Ian Williams. He's actually had 3 winners in the last fortnight. His team seems to be good for him. It's interesting that he has booked William Buick as well, I think. And "Come On Kenny." Like, Come On Kenny has obviously had serious problems, because Come On Kenny is a 7-year-old who's only ran 8 times in his whole career. And we've only actually seen him once since March of 2022. And that's obviously a little bit worrying. But if you go back through his form, now this is going back a couple of years, when the last time he won at Sandown, he won a 10-furlong handicap back in the summer of 2021. He beat Military Decoration. And Military Decoration at the time was rated 62, went on to be rated £10 higher, and won twice afterwards. And if anybody gets a chance to watch that race, well, Come On Kenny, like, he actually it was quite a bizarre finish because he was really awkward up the home straight at Sandown that day, but he still managed to get up under Alicia Whittington in the final couple of strides. He went to Wolverhampton afterwards and ran, I thought, reasonably well off a 4 pound higher mark. Now, he returned to action after a 406-day break at Newbury last time. It was bottomless ground. He was nibbled at in the market into 15-2. He never really got into it, but the ground was soft. This looks a poor race, and I'd say he's not badly handicapped off a mark of 70. He's a type of horse, like, he's 6-1 at the moment. I'd kind of love to see him being backed into about 5-2, because you know this is the day for Come On Kenny, but I'm going to chance him at 6-1.
Come On Kenny, the only 7-year-old on in the field, 6-1 for DJ, and Robbie's still wondering why this race is on the ITV card, and he'll be playing his pass for this race. No harm in doing that. Let's move on to the 150, where hopefully Robbie does have an opinion. It's the 2-mile handicap, and it's a Class 2 event this time, and Carzola is the 15-8 favourite. Law of the Sea, 3-1. First Man, 13-2. The Max We Can, 15-2. Mountain Road, 8-1. Solent Gateway is 12-1. And Rashoon is 33-1. Robbie, usually I switch between pundits, and I go to you and then Didi, but I'm going to go back to you because you played your pass. Give us a winner here.
Yeah, you're right to go back to me, mate. Yeah, I do. I like these staying races, Sam. Myself and friend of the show, Graham Wobway, are responsible for handicapping them. And I thought Law of the Sea was interesting. He was pretty smart for John Gosden. He's joined Ian Williams. He's a trainer I like with stayers, and he tends to find a bit of improvement out of seemingly quite exposed older horses. And he ran a really nice run in the Chester Cup on his first start for the yard. He was a bit of an eye catcher. He was denied a clear run. It just didn't really work out for him. He's actually on a fairly good rating when you go back through his peak form for John Gosden. He was rated up to 102. He's off 91. William Buick's up. He's only a pound higher than the Chester Cup run. And I think that race is pretty strong anyway. So, yeah, this looks a little bit weaker, and I'd say he's the one to beat.
Law of the Sea for Robbie. DJ, Ian Williams getting plenty of love on the podcast already. Could be a double in the first two races. Who are you with in this?
Yeah, definitely has a chance, Law of the Sea. I just think First Man has been crying out for some decent ground. I know the stable strongly fancied him to run well in that Newmarket handicap on Guineas weekend, but the ground went completely against him and he never got into it at all. He was, in fairness, it was William Buick actually looked after him that day. I thought his chance had gone and he just eased up on him. I do think he's still reasonably well handicapped off mark in the 80s. Like, he's bumped into some decent horses in Ireland at Dundalk, second to Akita Sushi in a conditions race in February. And prior to that, bumped into Boer Man, won a handicap at Dundalk off 79. He's just your typical late-developing Tony Martin type horse. And Paddy Hartnett is good value for his £5 claim as well. Just thought with the ground completely different to the way it was at Newmarket, I thought First Man was a big player here.
Okay, First Man 13-2 for DJ. Moving on then to the 225. It's a 1 mile handicap, heritage handicap, class 2 event for the 3-year-olds here. And this is one of the Tote Fantasy races. And Covey is the 3-1 favourite here for the John Gosden, John and Fady Gosden and Frankie Dettori team at 3-1. Ginstant 13-2. Defence of 4 and Royal Cape 7-1. James McHenry is 8-1. Double figures. Bar these in here. DJ, Covey, I mean, these 3-year-olds, we always go through and kind of look for that group horse and a handicap. How good do you think Covey may be?
Yeah, he could be very good. I actually thought his first win at Newmarket during the Craven meeting, I thought was really impressive. He was well on top of the line. He won by 4 lengths, but I thought he was value for a bit more than that. Frankie was very confident throughout. And even last time at Newcastle, he was 1-16, but it was basically cantered all over them. But it was just the manner of it, the way he travelled through his race, it suggests that he probably could be a proper group performer. Like, the hands are tied, really. Getting a mark at 90, he had to go into a handicap. Like, he got an RPR of 95 for that win at 1-16 at Newcastle. So when you get a mark at 90, you kind of go, well, let's go for a handicap and win that before we can go on to bigger and better things. He probably will win. And I wouldn't be surprised. He's 3-1 at the moment. I wouldn't be surprised if he went off a good bit shorter than that. He is the most likely winner in the race. I do think Royal Cape is interesting for Hughie Morrison. And William Buick is going to have an incredible day if the racing podcast has anything to do with it. I thought Royal Cape was very impressive last time at Windsor. And prior to that, actually, when he bumped into Lose Your Wad at Kempton, I thought he ran a big race there as well. Like, he was always up at the pace. He kept at it. And I'd say he's a nice horse, Royal Cape. I'd say he's well handicapped off a mark of 88. If Covey isn't to win it, I think Royal Cape will be the one to pick up the pieces.
Okay, Kobe, yeah, looks the one to beat. But Royal Cape, William Buick in for a good day, like DJ says. We better hope so. 7-1, not a bad price at all. Robbie, what about yourself in here? Do you think Kobe could be very good?
He could be, yeah. I thought a better value selection would be Defensive Fort, who's over double the price. Sort of looked excellent on his debut at Ascot. He absolutely ate up that stiff 7 furlong finish. That was a fair novice. And then he's gone off 4-1 for a decent Sandown juvenile, won by Silver Knot. He's struggled in that company. He didn't quite replicate his form of his first time out win. And then he was chucked into the Horace Hill at Newbury. Didn't like the heavy ground. So I think off a mark of 8, yeah, he could be quite interesting first time out for Peter Chappell-Hyme.
Okay, another 7-1 selection, Defensive Fort for Robbie. Jamie, with regards to a handicap like this in the Tote Fantasy game, a horse like Kobe, who's fairly short in a handicap like this, are we looking at a fair amount of our budget for a horse like Kobe?
Yeah, I mean, Kobe, he's £2,500, guineas rather, and ultimately that is quite a fair chunk. A day like today, it's quite open. You could probably get away with including him. You probably have to leave one out later in the card, like Mimikyu, who's a 5,000 guinea purchase. That sort of is what it will come down to, whether or not you're with or against her. So we could yet include him. We'll see. You know, whereas Defensive Fort is 750 guineas, so that frees up loads of budget elsewhere. So it's worth keeping in mind how that balances. Obviously, that's a key part of playing fantasy, is trying to pick the team you fancy the most whilst also balancing that budget. And The one for me here would have been Bodorgan. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce his name. The Charlie Hills horse, this is his first time he's in a handicap, which you're obviously taking a bit on trust. But he's around the 12-1 mark at the moment. And where you have the likes of sort of Just Bring It at that price, who is one off his handicap mark and was second last time out. You know, Bodorgan was in that incredibly good-looking Newmarket maiden that Enfjar won, and then he came out and obviously hacked up a chance for the last time, but that also had Arabian Storm in there. It had Derby favourite Military Order back and forth, so the form of that looks incredibly strong. And then he's since come out and won a novice, beating Miltai by a very easy 4 lengths, who's come out and won again. So a mark of 87, although it's an opening mark, I'm not quite sure where you stand on it. I think Bodorgan could be better than that.
Okay, 3 different selections in the Silver Bowl handicap at 225 at Haydock. On to the group racing then. This is where it gets really good. It's the 3 o'clock. It's the Sandy Lane Stakes, 6 furlongs for the 3-year-olds here. And Little Big Bear with Frankie Dottori aboard is 7-4 favourite. Bradsell is 7-2. Cold Case is 5-1. Al Dassim, 15-2. Matilda Picotte is 8-1. Millstream, 16-1. Should have been a ring, 16-1. And the outside of the lot is the Riddler at 40-1. Robbie Wilders, Little Big Bear. I mean, we're probably going to be discussing next week August Rodin and whether we put a line through his run in the guineas, but do we put a line through this one's run in the guineas?
Yeah, I think you've got to, really. I mean, they obviously had travel problems heading over to Newmarket. That probably wouldn't have helped. He was too keen. I never thought he was going to really get the mile trip anyway. I mean, he's still very interesting here. He definitely still deserves to be favourite. But I thought Cold Case was outstanding at Ascot on his return. I'm really shocked that Bradsell is a shorter price to beat him. I just
think no way. Okay, go on, continue your case.
Didn't expect a reaction like that. Jesus. I don't know. I mean, when you look at the two colts that are alongside each other at Ascot, I just thought Cold Case looks, it just is completely different beast. He's absolutely dwarfed Bradsell. I just think he's scopier. He's just improved as a 3-year-old. Cole Burke's horses are obviously flying this season. And I think in a match bet, he will certainly uphold that form with Bradsell.
Well, it looks like we're going to have a match bet between you and DJ. DJ, I'm actually in agree with you here. I think Bradsell was going to come on a hell of a look. We know this horse was off a long time since Royal Ascot and came back. I thought it was an exceptional run. And I've just got a feeling this horse will take a massive step forward for the Archie Watson Yard. And DJ, it sounds like you're in agreement with me there.
Yeah, I think I'll be over for Ascot, Robbie. I think we're going to have some kind of a match bet. Maybe a night out funded by one of the two of us, whoever finishes in front of the other. Look, the way I look at this race is, like, one of our other hosts, obviously not as good as you, Sam, Bruce Millington, would always say to me, you know, I am the most loyal pundit that the Racing Post has. And if that was the case, I would certainly be tipping Little Big Bear here, because I was all over him for the guineas. I thought the fact that he was so relaxed in his races at two, and the fact that there was so much stamina on his damn side that he would stay the mile in the guineas. Now, we don't really know how good Little Big Bear is now from his run in the guineas because everything went wrong. But can you forgive a horse that finished stonewall last in the guineas going into a group two over two furlongs shorter that is a proper group two and possibly as good? Like, if this was a group one, you'd be saying, that's fine. That's a proper group one. This is a really good race. And Little Big Bear, they're saying that he's showing all the right signs at home, but I just can't forgive him. I was all over him going into the guineas. And yes, I know the ground went all against him and everything, but I was bitterly disappointed. He was struck into as well, so, and he was lame. But I just thought Bradsell, I watched that race at Ascot, and I just came away from it thinking, my God, Bradsell is going to win the Commonwealth Cup. He trained at 1.03 in running. The race looked absolutely over. It was gone. It was done. And then Cold Case outstayed him. Like, Cold Case kept going until October last year. Bradsell obviously got injured in the Phoenix Stakes behind Little Big Bear at the Curragh. That was on the 6th of August. He had a long, long time off until that return at Ascot in the Group 3. I thought he travelled through the race like by far the best horse in the race. And I thought if those two horses clashed again, there would only be one outcome. I'm delighted the two of them are showing up here. I can't believe Bradsell is 7-2. I thought he showed enough to suggest not only is he as good as he was at 2, I think he's better at 3, given the way he travelled to about 200 yards out at Ascot. I think he's going to be a big player in the sprinting division this year. I could see him being a big player in the Commonwealth Cup and the July Cup. I think 7-2 is a massive price. Archie Watson obviously has started the season in really, really good form as well. Maybe Little Big Bear is just better than these and he might win, but I'd be very surprised if Bradsell doesn't finish in front of Cold Case.
Jamie, I'm so sorry.
He was very strong in the market at Ascot, though, DJ. I assume he'd have been ready enough.
Maybe.
I wouldn't be surprised if he dropped to 5 furlongs, but we'll see. It's going to be an interesting one. I'm looking forward to this race more than anything.
That's a good point. Like, I'm kind of thinking, I'm going along the lines of it was a case of it was the layoff and the fact that he wasn't fully wound up that made him trade at 1.03 and only finish third. But the flip side of that could be that maybe he doesn't stay, but then he was strong at the end of the Coventry as well. So I don't know. I think Bradsell could win this.
It's going to be fascinating, mate. Bit of needle, but I like it.
Jamie, I was about to apologise to you because at the end of this, you've got to build a team and you've got to deal with these two discussing this team and whether Bradsell or Cold Case is going to be going in here. I don't know what the prices are for the game. I don't know what price Little Big Bear is, but who are you going to be with? You might have the deciding factor here.
Well, Little Big Bear's 2,500 guineas. Bradsell's 1,750 guineas and Cold Case is 1,250. So Cold Case is half the price of Little Big Bear. But for my money, Little Big Bear will be, in my stable when I do it, will be my stable star and all sorts because I just... DJ, you are going to be sick to your stomach if he absolutely gags up here, and I think he might do. Because as you rightly said, everything that could have gone wrong went wrong in the guineas. The ground, he was untested at the mile, he got struck into, he was far too keen, all that kind of stuff. If he is right and he's recovered from being struck into, I think he wins this potentially in a hat canter a la the Phoenix Stakes. On a line through Persian Force with Bradsell, he's, you know, got the measure of him. And ultimately, those two are potentially Group 1, but they're yet to prove that they're Group 1 horses, whereas Little Big Bear has proven that he's a Group 1 horse. And for my money, he wins this and reestablishes himself at the top of the Commonwealth Cup market.
I've got no idea who I'm going to be backing the Sandy Lane Stakes.
I was going to say, Sam, we'll give you the signing vote for the fancy. Yeah.
Well, I don't know whether it might be a sensible play. Jamie will have to tell me, but when we get down to it, I wouldn't mind playing Bradsell with the Stewards Inquiry, to be honest, and boosting him up a place. I don't know if that could be a sensible play, Jamie, but we'll have to discuss that towards the end.
Yeah, yes, well, I'll save that particular argument till the end of the pod.
Yeah, we'll leave that and move on to another Group 2, and it's the 3:30 at Haydock, the 5 furlong Temple Stakes, and the Platinum Queen tops the market 7-2, Dramatised and Twilight Calls 11-2, Royal Acclaim is 13-2, Living the Dream 9-1, 14-1 about Happy Romance, Mitt Bahi and Rasel, and 25-1 and bigger the rest of them. DJ, talk about putting a line through horses' runs. The Platinum Queen obviously switched stables to the Roger Varian Yard, but you can always put a line for any horse running in America. But before that, she looked absolutely exceptional running in open company, and she could take a massive step forward at three.
Yeah, 1.2 million guineas, would you believe? It's quite the price tag for a filly who, I suppose, started her career at Ripon and was a bitter disappointment in the Queen Mary as well. She really progressed as the season went on last season. So the very best of luck to Katsumi Yoshida and Roger Varian here. I thought the betting was all wrong earlier on in the week. Like, I think the Platinum Queen at one stage was 11-8 or 13-8, and I just couldn't understand that because it looked like a lot of these were going to end up going here. The one that I like and I'm keeping faith in is Royal Acclaim for James Tate and Neil Callan. This is obviously the same Royal Acclaim that started favourite for the Nunthorpe. Was disappointing in the Nunthorpe, and the accent just happened a bit away from her, I thought. Highfield Princess was towards the outside, and Royal Acclaim, Andrea Tenney, went kind of towards the inside. Look, she was beaten fair and square. She was beaten nearly six lengths. She was disappointing, but I just got the impression coming out of the Nunthorpe that we didn't really see what Royal Acclaim was properly made of. Then she went to Longchamp for Group 3 at the end of the season, or certainly in September, and just the ground was too soft for herself to do herself justice there. Last season, she took my breath away when she returned at Bath, and then she won at York on the bridle, beating Mondemesh. We know she goes well fresh. I just think she's one of those forgotten sprinters, like she was the sexiest thing around going into the Nunthorpe, and then all of a sudden she's beaten and everybody seems to forget her. I think she has the potential to be a really good sprinter this season. I thought 13-2 was massive. I thought she might even be disputing favouritism, to be honest with you. And I'm going to give her another chance. Royal Acclaim for me.
I'm going to be sticking with DJ in the group races because I think, this James Tate Neil Callan partnership is really going really well as well. I think they're a hell of a strike rate together. But 13-2 looks a massive price, in my opinion. Robbie, what about yourself?
Yeah, I totally agree with DJ. The Platinum Queen, a terrible favourite. At least she's a bit on the drift now, but I'd have her as probably fourth or fifth likely winner, to be honest. I think she was just benefiting. She was a very early two-year-old. She was benefiting from a massive weight for age as a juvenile. She's not getting that here. She's got a £5 penalty as well. So she's only getting a few pounds from horses like Twilight Calls. So I couldn't have her one bit first time out. I had this between Twilight Calls and Living the Dream. Twilight Calls, the ground went against him at Newmarket. I would draw a line through that, but it's second to Nature Strip in the King Stand is by far the best form in this race, I'd say, probably. And Living the Dream is definitely an each way player about 8 or 9 to 1. He's just really improved as a 4-year-old. He's so quick out of the gates. He was probably unlucky not to hold on in the Palace House after nearly making all. I think the soft ground just caught him out from a horse who loves it in Bad Dream that day. He's in stall 14, but they've switched the stalls to stand side, so I can see him just pinging out, bagging that rail and being very hard to read, and I think he's a good horse. So I'll probably have a win bet on Twilight Calls and an each way bet on Living the Dream.
There you go, Twilight Calls and Living the Dream for Robbie. Jamie, who are you going to be with in this one?
Yeah, Twilight Calls is a horse that I absolutely adore. And as Robbie rightly says, the ground just went against him last time. I actually think that will prove to be an important pointer towards the King Stand. With I think Manakan is a really interesting horse to come out of that. And ultimately, Twilight Calls will love this better ground. He's not great at the weights, though. I'd probably fancy him almost more in the King Stand than I would do here, just because he'll reoppose a load of these on levels there. And so I probably am going to go for a small bet on Twilight Calls, but it's slightly hesitantly. I might be tempted to throw a couple of quid each way at a massive price on Aklam Express, who was third in that King Stand last year and ultimately just takes a bit of time to come to himself. And yeah, he'll be 33-1, and rightly so, but you never know. He could sneak a place. But Twilight Calls, my sort of tentative main selection.
Okay, a fair bit of love for Twilight Calls in the final race we're covering at Haydock. So Haydock's all completed. York and Goodwood are coming right up.
Tote Fantasy, proudly sponsoring the Racing Postcast. Daily fantasy racing with real cash prizes up for grabs. A cross between fantasy football and the play spot. Who's in your stable? Visit tote.co.uk/fantasy to find out more. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by Tote Fantasy, Sam Hart, David Jennings, Robbie Wilders and Jamie Benson, trying to find you those weekend winners. Attention turns to the rest of the 8 ITV card now away from Haydock, and we kick things off with the opener at Goodwood on Saturday, which is the Festival Stakes. A listed race over a mile and a quarter comes to you at 1:30 there at Goodwood. And Francesco Clemente is a 15-8 favourite, Phantom Flight 9-2, King of Conquest 11-2, El Drama 6-1, Epic Poet 10-1, Jack Darcy 14, and Imperial Fighter 25-1. An unbeaten Gosden horse in here, Robbie. 15-8. Is this too short or probably about right?
Yeah, it's probably about right. He was a similar price early in the week when there was a haggish short price favourite in the race. So I think it's probably about right. The race is cut up slightly. I had a postman up of Phantom Flight early in the week. I've not gone off him. I think he's a good horse. He ran to an RPR of 114 when he hacked up in a York handicap from a really consistent horse in Spirit Dancer, who absolutely loves York. He's got the run behind him. Francesco Clemente doesn't. We don't know how good Francesco Clemente is. I mean, he's got all the entries in the world. He's like entered in the Ark and stuff. But I don't know. This is the best race he's contested so far. Phantom Flight, I think at the moment he's probably of a similar. His form is of a very similar level, and he's two or three times the price. With the run behind him, that didn't go according to plan either, really, behind Fox's Tales. He sort of lost ground early on. He was not shuffled back, and then he didn't quite get a clear run in the final furlong. And he was just reeled in late by Rogue Millennium, who's come out and almost beaten Free Wind at the Middleton Stakes. I think that's pretty decent form, that Kempson run from Phantom Flight. So he'd be the one for me.
Phantom Flight 9-2 for Robbie. DJ, are you against the favourite in here?
No, not against him. I say he could be a very nice horse. I just don't really know how good he is. Like, sure, that performance at Newmarket last year was just spectacular. Like, so, you know, he could be anything. He could be an absolute monster. We just don't know. He's probably the right price too. You know, he's not odds on, and he's not 7-2. He's somewhere in the middle, which is probably the right price. He's just the sort of price where you just let him go, kind of thing. You don't back him, and you just, if he wins, you just say, fair enough, I kind of thought that might happen. The one that I thought was overpriced was El Drama for Roger Varian and Jack Mitchell. Always seems to go well fresh, and I didn't think that was a bad run at all at Maidan. He made the running early in the Dubai Turf. He wasn't beaten far. Like, he was only beaten 5 3/4 lengths. Like, in the context of a listed race, that's really good form. Like, he was only beaten in the Group 1 in Maidan in March, that Jabal Hatta. He was only beaten a neck that day. Like, he was in front of really good horses like Master of the Seas, and Valiant Prince was in there, Real World was in there, and he was only just caught on the line. So I think, while it's Dubai form, I think it's quite high quality Dubai form. I think Goodwood will suit him. Like, he was second, albeit well beaten, by Baid in a Group 3 at Goodwood back 2 years ago. So I think he ticks a lot of boxes, El Drama. I'm not surprised if Francesco Clement wins, but I think El Drama is the value alternative.
Yeah, 6-1 about El Drama. It does. I think the form does look very good. And DJ had to bring up the Dubai Turf form. I don't really want to talk about that race much longer after what happened with the Japanese horse back in March. But 6-1 does look a fair price about El Drama. But both of us think that potentially Francesco Clement could be very, very good. That race isn't part of the Tote Fantasy game, so we'll move straight on to the 205, 7 furlong handicap at Goodwood. 205 there is a Class 2 event, and Taff Reed is the 4-1 favourite. Bresson is 5-1. Yakolev is 6-1. I hope I haven't mispronounced that. Dark 30, 7-1. Seeking Gold, 11-1. 12-1, and bigger about the rest of the field. DJ, I actually quite liked one at a fair price in here, and it was Classic, who actually ran at Goodwood. Last time running at Goodwood, ran into the back of the Foxes by a neck for the Hannon Yard, who do very well at Goodwood. And obviously, Goodwood form can be obviously very strong. So 14-1, I thought, was a fair enough price about this horse, but it is a very open contest.
Yeah, Classic is just one of those that there's a few of them Hannon horses that I thought were actually going to be a lot better than they are. Like, Rich is one of them. I thought Rich was going to be a star, and she's turned out to be very disappointing. I think Classic falls into that kind of category. Like, should have beaten the Foxes that day, was odds on, and didn't. Then won its novice race quite easily at Newmarket. And then I thought, and a massive chance in that four-runner race that Stormbuster won, and he ran really poorly, and then he was really disappointing behind Isaac Shelby in the Greenham as well. So I really don't know what to expect from Classic. I could certainly see where you're coming from, but I just don't know what you're going to get from him. Breston was the one that I liked. I think a mark of 93 is fine for him. He's always struck me as a horse that could develop into a nice three-year-old. You could argue he was disappointing on his last start at Doncaster, but he was very, very keen in the early part of that race under Frankie, and it was one of these situations where Frankie just accepted it quite early. Prior to that at Salisbury, I thought that was a decent enough effort. He was beaten at odds on, but it was a decent race. Shadden was in there, and the winner, Remarque, I think is how you pronounce it, for Rafe Beckett, ran in the Guineas and had been, is rated 104 now, and won the Fred Darling as well. So that form, getting, while Breston was beaten that day, was still second to a horse rated 104, now running off a mark of 93. I think he's well handicapped, Breston.
Okay, Preston, 5-1 for DJ. Robbie, who are you with?
Yeah, I'm interested in Taff Rage here. He's actually slightly shorter than I thought he was going to be. But, I mean, he's very well related. He's closely related to Tag Ruder and Isra. I think he looks like the kind of horse that's going to be... He's going to need to win this to get into the Britannia at Royal Ascot. The form of his third at Newbury on his comeback is looking good with Dark 30. He reopposes winning since... it didn't all go completely according to plan that day for Taff Rage. I thought he was on the wrong part of the track from where the race unfolded. He's off the same rate and he's only run four times. It's a pretty warm race, but I certainly had him as the most likely winner.
Okay, Taff Rage for Robbie. And Jamie, an open-looking contest, which means we've probably got free reign with the Tote Fantasy team.
Yeah, exactly. The market's headed by Taff Rage and Breston, who are both 17-50 guineas. So even at that price, you can probably keep one of them on side. I'm actually with you, Sam, on Classic. I absolutely love him at 14s. Like he would rate as one of my bets of the weekend at that price. That form obviously with the Foxes stands out. But then even when he didn't run that well behind Stormbuster, you know, he was giving £3 to Stormbuster, who's now rated 97. High Bank was ahead. He's now rated in the high 90s as well. And you know, he comes here off 91. So you'd be pretty... And you could just put line through the green and run. It was too soft. He just had no sort of run. So you could make a really strong case, I think, for Classic being well handicapped off 91. You are taking a little bit on trust that he comes back to some of that early season form of last year. But I don't see any reason why he can't improve dramatically. And he's a Dubois as well. You know, he's entitled to be slightly better at three. And I just think Classics, for me, would be rated as one of my bets of the weekend.
Yeah, I think he's worth a small each-way play. I think 14-1, if he can return to that form that he showed last season, especially at Goodwood, I've just got a feeling that he could run a massive race. Let's move over to York then for a 5-furlong handicap Class 2 event at 2:40 there. And Corker tops the market at 3-1. Bedford Flyer is 13-2. The loved Mondomage is 8-1. Chipstead, 9-1. Reigning Prophet, 9-1. Fine Wine is 11-1. And 12-1, bar these. Robbie, an open-looking 5-furlong contest. Never easy to pick the winner, but you've got to try.
Yeah, I feel a bit boring. I'm putting up another favourite, but I think Corker is going to be quite hard to beat. I know he misses the break sometimes, which is an obvious concern, but he definitely shaped best in that York race last week at the Dante meeting over 5 furlongs. If he breaks on terms, then I just think he's still well handicapped. He's not £3 higher. He's got Pierre-Louis Germain taking that £3 off to negate that. Obviously, Carl Burke, we're a big fan of him at the moment. And I really think he probably is a group horse in a handicap. So if the cards fall right, he should be good enough to the far top weight.
Okay, Corker, 3-1 for Robbie. DJ with the favourite?
Asha, Corker drives me mad, so he does. Like, I was really sweet on him at York and didn't really think he had many excuses. He broke better than he usually does. He still dwells, but he didn't miss as much ground as he often does. Clifford Lee stopped riding him 50 yards from the line, which was extraordinary. I don't know if he got banned or not, but he either mistook the winning post or thought he actually won the race and didn't realise regional was on the far side. It was quite bizarre. But he ran his race. Is he really well handicapped off 103? Not quite sure. He definitely is a massive chance. I could see him running a big race. Just one at a much bigger price here who could be worth chancing, because I didn't think anything went right from last time, was Zarzini, who we fancied to run really well in that race at Musselbury. He was backed into 11-2, and just, I know Corker missed a break as well, so did Zarzini, but it was one of them where you're kind of going, We didn't really get a proper look at Zarzini here. Like, he was rated 104 last season. He's down to 96 now. Jason Hart, I love Jason Hart in sprints at York. And, yeah, I just thought that had a chance of 14-1. Wouldn't be surprised if Corker won, but me and Corker have parted ways.
There was an oi oi there from Jamie Benson when you mentioned Zarzini's name, which sounds like he's going to be a certainty to go into our Tote Fantasy team. Is that the case, Jamie?
Yeah. I don't know why, but DJ and I seem to cross like ships in the night quite often on our views. But in this case, I'm firmly in agreement with you, DJ. I think Zarzini's handicapped to win. The only small concern I had was the stable form of the Baron Yard, which is a slight. They haven't had a winner in a few weeks, but the horses aren't running badly. So I think Zarzini at 14s absolutely will be in the stable.
Okay, Zarzini for Jamie as well. On to the final race that we'll be covering from the UK action. It's the 3:15 at York. It's the Bronte Cup Filly Stakes over a mile, 6 furlongs, a Group 3 contest. And Mimi Q tops the market at 5-4. River of Stars, 11-2. C Flawless is 6-1. One Evening, 11-1. Ala Roos is 12-1. And 16-1 and bigger about the other four in here. DJ, with this one here, Mimi Q, I think James already mentioned at the top of the show, going to be a heck of the budget if we did want her in the stable. But could we take her on?
She just wins. Yeah, I'm going to not take up too much of your time here. She's right, 112, £15 better than River Stars. It's just very hard to see how what's going to go wrong for her not to win. It'd be interesting to hear Robbie's thoughts on One Evening. I know he's a big fan of her. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. Or maybe it's not One Evening. It's One Something that Robbie was fancying to run really well.
Yeah,
in the race
one
recently.
Morning.
The one morning, sorry. Yeah. Wrong time of the day.
I wouldn't really go with that, but yeah.
One morning, sorry. I think Mimi Q will win.
Okay, Mimikyu for DJ. Robbie, the anti-postman column came out this week, 50-1 on Wiki Wheels. I messaged you straight after to say that price didn't last very long, but now a 16-1 chance for Jim Goldie. Sometimes you do kind of reevaluate. I know you said with Phantom Flight you're still strong on that one, but with Wiki Wheels, where's the confidence level still with this one?
I have reevaluated somewhat. It's actually slightly stronger race than I thought it would be. I thought it was sliced up even more, but I mean, we're still on 50, so I'm still pretty excited. I think Wiki Wheels is interesting. She's the only horse, apart from Mimi Q, who's run to RPRs of 100 on a consistent basis. Bounced right back to form at Haydock last time off top weight and a good handicap won by Get Shirty last time. But I think she's probably fairly priced now at 16. I don't know about Mimi Q. First time out under a penalty. She ran a pretty poor race at York last year when she encountered it in the Gautra Stakes. That would put me off a bit first time out. Some horses just don't really handle York, so I've got enough there to take her on. There are actually other interesting ones. Looking at Moon Daisy for Donna Crowe O'Brien. She ran quite well in the Savile Beg last week. She completely missed the break and ended up not being beaten far by Yashin. She was a couple of base ahead of Emily Dickinson. We know she didn't run a race exactly. Voodoo Queen, I thought, was another one. For Roger Varian. She actually finished ahead of Mimic Hugh when they both met at York last season in the Galtra Stakes. She's £5 better off this time. She's definitely got the best pedigree in the field. She's by Frankel out of a Moy Glare winner. She gives the impression, she certainly gave the impression at Goodwood that 1-6 could be an interesting move for her. That was on a surface that's probably a bit slow. I think she's got quite a lot in her favour. So basically, I think I'll just be laying Mimic Hugh.
Okay, so we've got one strong case there for Mimi Q, and DJ very strong on her chances, and Robbie against Mimi Q. Jamie, which way are you going?
Yeah, it's a tough one that I probably won't be punting myself in the outright market, but from a fantasy point of view, she is expensive at 5,000 guineas. You've probably got to look to take her on, otherwise you're compromising the rest of your team in so many different ways. And the one I sided with to take her on was Voodoo Queen for all the reasons that Robbie just laid out. I think the 1-6 looks up her street. She has formed with Mimi Q at York last year that you could argue she can improve from. She's a Frankel. You'd think the step up will probably suit her. And Voodoo Queen probably will be the one. But if you do the years this, it's a perfect example of trying to find the second and using your steward's inquiry to boost it to first. So that might be the way we go here with our list, seeing we've got a few others at the front of the market in some of the handicaps and things like that. So it might be an interesting one to just side with one at a bigger price and try and boost them to first behind Mimikyu.
Well, if it helps, I'm actually also a big fan of Voodoo Queen as well at 16-1. So it could be the one that we go with. Robbie's made the case there, but
she's in.
She could be in, yeah, absolutely. So there's all the UK action covered. We're going to be taking a trip over the Irish Sea for some Group 1 action in just a second.
Stay ahead of the field with Racing Post Members Club, featuring unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, exclusive online content, replays from all UK and Irish racecourses, and more. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22 to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. Head to racingpost.com/postcast to find out more.
Thanks for joining us back for the final part of the postcast with Sam Hart, David Jennings, Robbie Wilders and Tote Fantasy's very own Jamie Benson. The Curra hosts the Irish Guineas meeting this weekend and we have three Group 1s to look at on the card across Saturday and Sunday. And we kick things off on Saturday with the Irish 2000 Guineas at 3.40 at the Curra. And Royal Scotsman tops the market at 2-1. High Royal is 9-2. Paddington 5-1. Proud and Regal 6-1. Galeron 12-1. Cairo 14-1 and 20-1. And bigger about the rest of the field in here. DJ, I've got a question for you with regards to Royal Scotsman. Do you think potentially from the Newmarket 2000 Guineas that he could be the best three-year-old miler in that field rather than Chaldean?
He could be, Sam. It's quite, like, the Guineas actually, for me, threw up more questions than answers because so much went wrong for so many horses in the race that you're kind of going, everything went right for Chaldean, but he kind of did win convincingly, so he could be the best of them. But so much went wrong for most of the leading contenders, and you can point to the Ballydoyle pair and how everything went wrong for them, but so much went wrong for Royal Scotsman as well. Like, it was an incredible performance. Of the first six home, he was the only one with a double-figure draw to finish in the first six. He finished third. It looked to me like he was definitely the second best horse in the race and probably not far off the best horse in the race. To be as free as he was for the first half of the race, even the first nearly five furlongs of the race, and still to finish out his race reasonably well, suggesting to me that he'll definitely stay. I think the Curra will suit him better than Newmarket will. That Chaldean form in the Dewhurst is really strong. And I think he is the most likely winner. It's an open race. Like, he's not a certainty by any stretch of the imagination, but I think Jamie Spencer will suit him. I can imagine him being covered up and, you know, trying to get out maybe two out, and I think he'll probably win. Paddington, like, he's only won a handicap off 97 in a listed race, but he is the chosen one from Ballydoyle, so, you know, who knows what to expect. He's obviously shown plenty at home. He's a nice imposing individual, but if you're going by that Newmarket race as your form guide, it's got to be Royal Scotsman, doesn't it?
Yeah, I agree. I think Royal Scotsman 2-1 potentially warrants a bet there. Robbie, what about yourself? Royal Scotsman 2-1 a fair favourite?
Yeah, very much so. I basically just completely ditto what DJ said about Royal Scotsman. Obviously been supplemented. He was unlucky in the Guineas. Just got everything in his favour, really. Apart from the draw in seven, which might be a slight concern. It's probably slightly hard and ideal, but he's gonna be held up, isn't he? I thought one at a massive price might run okay. Bold Discovery, who's about 40-1. He was well put in his place by Paddington last time at the Curra in the Tetrarch Stakes. But he's, just look at his pedigree. It's all fast ground US dirt pedigree. He's not had a proper fast service to run on before, but he still finished second in a trial behind Hans Anderson at Leopardstown on heavy. I could just see him putting all known form behind. He's very lightly raced, but I was slightly concerned of the Jess Carrington pair that Shane Foley is on, Quarter Mar. I think it is actually quite a good race, to be honest.
I was surprised at that as well, Robbie, I have to say, because it's quite interesting, actually. This is a bit of insight that people might know. Well, actually, you won't know because you weren't there. But I was there the day Bold Discovery ran in the trial in that 2000 Guineas trial at Leopardstown behind Hans Anderson. And I was on my way into the winner's enclosure to interview Aidan O'Brien afterwards. And I met Kate Arrington, and Kate was absolutely smiling from me to ear. And she goes, DJ, you've got to back Bold Discovery for the Irish Guineas. If he can do that when he's only half fit, what's he going to do when he's fully fit? I can't believe how well he ran. It's an incredible run. Get whatever price you can for the Guineas. And then he ran against Paddington last time in the Tetrarch and ran a shocker. So just goes to show you, I just presume Shane will be riding Bold Discovery, but he's not. He's on Quad Shamar, who apparently worked well as well during the week. So just an interesting bit of insight there.
Yeah, nice insight, mate. Yeah, he actually did travel quite well behind Paddington. But yeah, it definitely was a step back in the right direction. I think just because he's 40-1, I will have to have an each way flyer, to be honest. But yeah, Royal Scotsman like DJ for me.
Yeah, Royal Scotsman. There's a bit of confidence about this horse. But Bold Discovery 40-1, a fair each way price there from Robbie. Jamie, I mean, if we take Mimikyu out of our team, I guess we can probably get Royal Scotsman in.
Yeah, that's spot on. And I suspect he'll probably be our stable star. I don't want to jump the gun on that one, but I really fancy him as well. I think he's absolutely the right favourite. You could probably make a case for 2-1 being generous. However, that said, I will be backing Bold Discovery separately after that lovely bit of insight from the lads.
Yeah, let's stick with Royal Scotsman. All four of us agreeing with that one. Let's move on to Sunday then for the 2:45 at the Curragh, which is the Tattersalls Gold Cup, a Group 1 over just over a mile and a quarter. Six entries in this field. We've got Baybridge, Luxembourg, Lafayette, Pisbadil, Trevenance and Verdani coming over from France. DJ, this is a fascinating contest. Well, you could say it's between the top two in the market of Baybridge and Verdani, but Luxembourg certainly throws his hat into the ring. He certainly throws it into the ring, but I think Verdani's going to be the one to beat and probably going to be the short price favourite, you'd imagine, DJ.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with this race pricing up. Obviously, we've just seen the decks. This is recorded early enough on Friday. It is. The one thing I will say, this is the race of the weekend. This is an absolute corker. Like, you go through, like, the Tattersalls Gold Cup went through a real difficult period there when Magical was 2-7 and 2-9 won in back-to-back years and real small fields, and it looked like it was going to just peter out tamely, the Tattersalls Gold Cup. But last year there was eight runners, and Lord North was in at State of Rest. Ellen Carr won at High Definition, would you believe, was in there. So it's turned the corner, the Tattersalls Gold Cup, and what a race we have in store here. As it should be for 265 grand to the winner. I don't know. I'm still a Luxembourg fan, and I know the return to action at the Curragh was possibly terrible. Actually, it was pretty poor, but it was soft ground and first run of the season. Wasn't knocked about. It was a complete pipe opener. And the fact that they've kept him in training, obviously, is very interesting. Like, the fact of the matter is, yes, Christophe Soumillon had a horror show in Verdani in last year's Irish Champion Stakes, but Luxembourg beat him a length and three quarters. Like, I don't think ability-wise there's that much between the pair. Like, Verdani wouldn't exactly set your pulse racing on his return to action in the Gane, would he? I thought at the prices, if you were getting maybe 3-1 about Luxembourg, I thought he'd be the value, to be honest with you.
Okay, well, I mean, I'd be totally against you, DJ, but Verdani, the one thing I say about Verdani's fourth in the pre-Gane is that Christophe Soumillon was very public in the fact that he said this horse will not be fully wound up for this race. He essentially said this horse is good. They're trying to get him ready to win the Prince of Wales Stakes. So they've come here as a second prep, basically. But you watch his run the pre-Gane, and I'd say it was an excellent prep for a race like this. Robbie, what did you make of this, looking at the six runners?
Yeah, it's quality race, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
The way I was looking at the start of the week, getting ready to back Buckaroo each way, but he's not running. So I've had to have a rethink. I'm not really...
It was a waste of time and energy?
Yeah, very much so, yeah. I don't know where he's going to go. He's an interesting horse going forward, for sure. But, yeah, I don't really know. I don't really want to commit to anything. I think it's just a really exciting race, and I don't really have much of a view on it. I think we're going to learn an awful lot. One thing I will say, looking at the decks, that Pisbadil was probably a bit overpriced at the 33s. He was obviously ahead at Luxembourg at the Curragh on his return. Probably wouldn't have liked the soft ground that day. He's beaten Buckaroo, which is the horse I've just spoken about, and the Bally Sachs last season. I think there's a good prize in Pisbadil, and he probably didn't quite stay a mile four in the Irish Derby when second to Westover. But there'd be my sort of tentative thoughts at the moment.
A small mention there for Pisbadil, but I think we're all just looking forward to watching the Tattersalls Gold Cup on Sunday. Jamie, have you got much of an opinion on this? I know sort of the Tote Fantasy races have been covered for Saturday. We're on to Sunday now, but I bet you're just looking forward to this as well.
Yeah, exactly. And this will be covered in the Fantasy on Sunday. It runs every day, and I think it's all seven races from the Curragh. Sorry, last seven races from the Curragh. So you'll have to make a pick in your Fantasy stable then anyway. And my selection would be Luxembourg for all the reasons that DJ said. I just think that no matter which way you cut it, he was going to beat Verdani in the Irish Champion Stakes last year. And these Aidenhead horses do sometimes take a bit of time to come back to themselves after their first run. So, yeah, I thought for everything that went wrong and everything that, no matter how many excuses you make for his seasonal reappearance, it's still a poor run. I don't think Bate Bridges or Verdani was really any better. So Luxembourg for me, but it's going to be a hell of a race. I can't wait to watch it.
It will be Luxembourg for DJ and Jamie, but I'm going to stick with the French, and I think Verdani will take out Tattersall's Gold Cup. Final race we look at is the 350 from the car. It's the Irish 1,000 guineas, 1 mile here for the fillies. And Tahira tops the market 8.15, Meditate 7-1, Jackie O and Tarawa are 10-1, Eternal Silence 16-1, Aspen Grove and You Send Me at 25-1, 33-1, and bigger about the other three in here. Robbie, Tahira, the second behind Morge in the 1,000 guineas. Dermot Well did say, look, the horse isn't potentially fully ready for that race, but they look like two exceptional fillies and she probably should be taking this 8.15.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I still think she's one of the best horses in training, to be honest. I'm kind of annoyed that she didn't win at Newmarket because, as Weld said, she was probably a gallop or too short, but I put her up to be unbeaten at the start of the season at 33-1. I mean, that's over, but I still look back on that as a good bet because I think they've both come miles clear of the rest. We don't know exactly how good a guineas is going to work out. Meditate was nowhere to be seen there. She's only run three times, obviously. She's rated to Narwa. I think she's probably going to step up and trip after this to mile two, but she's just miles the best, and 8-15 is pretty fair, to be honest.
Yeah, it probably is. DJ Tahira and Tarawa for the same connections. Could we have a forecast there for them?
Yeah, maybe. The one where I love Tahira, I'm a bit like Robbie. I think we should all just drink pints and chat about Tahira some night, Robbie, because I love her. Like I wrote a column about her at the start of the season saying she had the season in the palm of her hand because she was the one horse all season I just couldn't wait to see. And I was delighted Dermot ran her in the 1,000 guineas. Look, it was just in the last 50 yards. I couldn't believe she didn't go by. I thought she would go by, but to a miles clear of Matilda Pocotten third. I think it was 7.5 lengths back. Then a sustained duel the whole way up the straight. Maj had obviously been a bit match fitter, having been to Maidan in February. So she did, like, I don't like the saying she lost little in the feet, because she did. She lost her unbeaten record, she lost the classic, and she lost maybe that air of invincibility where I thought she might be unbeatable. So she did lose a lot in the feet, but I just hope she wins. I really do. Nothing to do about backing her or financial involvement or any of that. I just love her. I am really worried about the ground. They obviously will water plenty, I'd imagine. To get up to 22 degrees on Saturday in the Curra. We haven't had any rain all week. She's raced on good yielding ground at Galway, which had loads of cut on it. Then it was officially soft when she won the Maiglare, and it was very soft when she was just beaten in the 1,000 guineas at Newmarket. So she's never really experienced a rattling quick surface. Now, they will throw plenty of water on it, so I'm not sure it'll be rattling quick, but that is just the thing in the back of my mind that worries me a little bit is the ground. If it was good to yielding ground, I'd happily take 1-3 about her winning it, to be honest with you. I think she's going to get better as the season goes on. Dermot Well has this canny knack of getting fillies to progress as the season goes on. We've seen it with Tarnawa over the years, and I think he's going to do something similar with Tahira. I think she still could be the star of the summer this season. Just hope she wins. One of the bigger prize I think will run really well is the maiden, Eternal Silence. She was third in the Maiglare to Tahira and Meditate. Like, she was the one that was the only one apart from Tahira who kind of made ground from the rear that day. Like, she's been beaten in a maiden first time out where she was only 5-2 at the Curra. She was just too raw that day. Then she went into the Newton Annor Stakes, and again she was just too innocent for a race like that. I thought she ran a cracker 50-1 in the Maiglare. They love her in Moon. They think she's really, really good, and they think she's potentially one of their best horses there. So I think Eternal Silence and run a cracker, but I'm hoping she'll finish second to Tahira, and Tahira will win by a mile.
Yeah, I think we're all big Tahira fans. And Jamie, a quick word from you. I mean, she's going to be very, if she's going to be in the game on Sunday, she's got to be a big price, isn't she?
Yeah, 100%. She'll be 5,000 or 6,000 guineas, she'll be near enough the majority of your budget. And as much as I'm desperate to see her go and win, because this game needs superstars and she's a potential superstar. In fact, arguably already a superstar. I'm just a bit hesitant. I never quite like horses who have big races on sort of tough ground when they're slow, maybe a gallop or two short. It just sometimes can take more out of them than it seems. And that was a mother and father of a battle between her and Morge, wasn't it? And so I just wonder whether I'd be happy enough to take her on just at the prices more than anything else. Not because I think that there's a horse in here that's better than her, but Meditate won the juvenile fillies turf on firm ground at Keeneland. And I just wonder whether a return to better surface will see her to better effect. She looked like she got maybe stuck in the mud a bit before plugging on, and you know, a mile on good ground looks her trip and her challenge. So I'd probably take another small chance to Meditate. But geez, just hoping that Tahira goes and hacks up and confirms the superstar status.
Absolutely. I think Meditate will improve for the quicker going. But yeah, I think Tahira, hopefully she can just show her class on Sunday. Let's rattle through anything else that the gents have for the weekend. DJ, is there anything else that you want to mention that we haven't mentioned already?
Sure, loads. very, very quickly on Saturday, Kraken supporting card at the Curragh. I have a feeling, and this is a big claim, I wouldn't be surprised if Unquestionable won one of the races at Royal Ascot. I think Unquestionable, who runs at the 120, the opening maiden, a son of Wotton Bassett, I think he's very, very good. He was only third to His Majesty on debut, but I don't think he was in love with the ground that day at all. I think he's a good bit better than that. That was over 5 on soft ground. This is over 6 on quick ground. I think you'll see a completely different Unquestionable. I thought it was a lovely run. And sometimes when you're beaten in your maiden first time out, especially from Ballydoyle, it can be more of a help than a hindrance. Like Little Big Bear was beaten by Tough Talk in his maiden at the Curragh, and look what he went on to do. It just gives them a lovely education that they can run twice in maidens rather than going from a maiden straight into a group race. And I think Unquestionable is unquestionably really good. So Unquestionable to me, I'd be really disappointed if Unquestionable is beaten in that opening maiden at 120. In the 155, a really, really good Marble Hill. Aidan is two in there, Democracy and His Majesty, the aforementioned His Majesty. Ryan is on Democracy. Perhaps the most exciting of them all is the Paddy Toomey Notche Magica, who was very impressive at Cork on debut. So that'll be interesting. I'm not sure what I fancy there. One that I do fancy later on in the card in the Greenlands is Garrus for Charlie Hills and Ryan Moore. I just think Garrus is one of these sprinters. He's 7 now, but he just wins when he wins races he should win. He's not a Group 1 sprinter, but I think he's well capable of winning Group 2s like this. I think 6 furlongs at the Curragh would be perfect for Garrus. So I think Garrus could win again in that 2:30. And later on the card, just one other one for you at the Curragh. In the 4:50, I thought Nibiru was really unlucky last time at Leopardstown. Maxine O'Sullivan just couldn't get the gaps up the home straight. He still looks like he's in good heart. He's a decent hurdler. He's rated 84 on the flat. He's probably got some scope for improvement off that, given that you know, he's a pretty good hurdler. I know he's only rated 125 over hurdles, but he was second to Gaelic Warrior at Leopardstown at the Dublin Racing Festival. And he's a pretty good horse on his day, is Nibiru. So I think Nibiru with Colin Keane Booth can win the 450.
There you go. If you want the Saturday Curragh card previewed within 3 minutes, DJ's just done it for you. So that was pretty impressive. I think four horses there from DJ to look forward to. Robbie, anything for yourself for the weekend?
I'll give an endorsement to Garrus. That's what I'll do. Apart from that, I'll be taking a seat and waiting for nap time. And hopefully wind DJ up a bit more.
There we go. Garrus is
good. No, don't do it. Case closed. Case closed.
some love for Garrus then. Jamie, is there anything else for you this weekend that you wanted to give a quick mention to?
There's a tote sponsored card at Chester, so I'd have to preview that. And the three, there aren't prices out annoyingly at the moment, but the three that would be top of my list were in the 2:55, a horse called Batar, who I suspect will be pretty reasonably short, was third behind Ziggy's Dream, the Alan Haynes horse, who looks a good one, and then was second last time out to elite status. All of that looks like phenomenal form, well ahead of everything else on show here. Then in the 3:35, Scottish Dancer, and second run for Keith Dalglish. Looked to shape with a lot of promise at first last time, and he is up a couple of furlongs, which I think will suit and will go well here. Drawn in 3 which is ideal over the 2 miles. And then in the 4:05, this probably won't be a surprise to the market, but Pause for Thought, drawn in one. He ran with a lot of credit last time out to be third behind Hodler. Went 4-1 fab. I suspect he'll be near the top of the market again, but it looks set to run a massive race, knowing he handles the track.
Madness. Look how many selections we've had come up on the podcast today, all from different race courses. It's been action-packed, but it's time to get the Tote Fantasy team for Saturday. Like I said at the top of the show, it's £7 to play. The 7 races provided to you by Tote Fantasy. You've got to try and find a horse in each race within the budget, the 10,000 guineas budget, and hopefully you can come out with some decent prizes. Top 25% of players take home some money. Jamie, give us the draft team and I'll let the lads squabble over what's going in and what's not.
So obviously we have one potentially contentious race, but it's been quite difficult this week because we were right on the edge of our budget, which is a bit annoying. So I've had to swap one out. So I'll just ping through it, which is 2:05 at Goodwood. So it's basically the list of the fantasy races of the last 7 on ITV on Saturday. So it's a 2:05 at Goodwood. I've got Classic in at the moment. I did have Taffarige, but we couldn't afford Taffarige or Bresson. So that's just a bit of a holding thing. We might be able to change that later if we change out. Potentially the next one in the 2:25, we've got Covey in at the moment. But if we were to swap him for Royal Cape or Defensive Fort, we could potentially have either Taffarige or Bresson in the first. So that's a potential trade that we need to look at. Then 2:40 at York, we've got Zarzini. Who's only 250 guineas, which is great. 3:00 at Haydock, we've got Bradsell.
Here we go.
Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to endorse this stable.
to be fair, if we swapped Bradsell for Cold Case, we could swap Classic for Bresson. That might be have yeah, to be
do,
a DJ.
No, you can do that because Classic has just gone at the game.
Oh, I would love it if Classic won now. Good, I'd love it. Go on, do that. What did you say? That'd work.
I couldn't be put in Cold Case. I couldn't be listening to Robbie for the rest of my life.
Okay, cool. That's good. That frees up a bit of budget for Bresson then. That's the sort of the horse trade that you're making. Then we've got further down. Where are we? 3:15 at York, Voodoo Queen. Mm-hmm. Again, making the budget work there. 3:30 at Haydock, we've got Twilight Calls, and then 3:40 at the Curragh, we've got Royal Scotsman.
Perfect. I mean, I seem happy about that after the final discussions there, DJ and Robbie. Was there anything that you gents wanted to add?
No, let's get on the naps, mate. Yeah.
Let's do it. Yeah. Well, what we need is a stable star, and we need a stewards inquiry for that team, though. Who would be the stable star that we'd go with this weekend? Robbie, did you want to pick the stable star?
I'm going to let you do it, Sam, please.
Oh. Yeah, cool.
Do you know, I mean, can I pick the Stewards Inquiry and someone else to say? Because I'd give Stewards Inquiry to Voodoo Queen, please, against Mimikyu, and we'll take the points if Mimikyu were to win. If we finish second, we take the points off Mimikyu, yeah, which would be lovely. Yeah, DJ, you can have the stable star. Go on.
Give us the list again quickly.
I'd probably suggest maybe Royal Scotsman makes sense.
Yeah, that's it. That sounds perfect because we're all in agreement there. So that's our stable start. So, Jamie, 1 minute. Take us through the final team. Go.
Right. 2:05, Goodwood, Bresson. 2:25, Haydock, Covey. 2:40, York, Zarzini. 3:00, Haydock, Cold Case. 3:15, York, Voodoo Queen with the Stewards Inquiry on. 3:30, Haydock, Twilight Calls, and 3:40 at the Curragh, Royal Scotsman, Stable Star, Bring It Home for the Boys, Bag the Grand.
And that's how you end up in the money with a team like that. Hopefully we have some luck and you can play up against us in the Racing Postcast private league, so do get involved with that. You can find all the information of that on the Racing Post socials and the Tote Fantasy socials as well. Now, all that's left to do quickly is to get the naps, and Robbie, you were keen to get onto the naps, so let us hear yours.
Yeah, I think you boys know my nap. 3:00 at Haydock, the Sandy Lane Stakes, Cold Case.
Cold Case for Robbie. Oh, I'd love it if DJ puts Bradsell up now. DJ, who's the nap?
I won't put up Bradsell because...
Oh, come on.
No, I do think Bradsell will win. But I got a run going last year on the podcast where I got four naps in a row, and I want to get a run going again. So I just want a winner. I just really, really want a winner. And I'd be devastated if Unquestionable doesn't win the opener, the 120 at the Curragh on Saturday. I think he's really smart. I think you'll see a different horse to the one you saw on debut. So Unquestionable, I think, is a good thing in the 120 at the Curragh.
Unquestionable in the opener at the Curragh on Saturday. And Jamie, who's your nap?
I'm hoping for a blind squirrels and nuts moment, because last time DJ described a selection of mine as gone at the game, it was Side the Burley in the Stayers Hurdle. So
what a selection that was. I forgot about that.
Literally, I have to mention it every podcast because it's the only winner I've ever backed. but so as a result, my nap is going to be Classic.
Oh, there we go.
Bruce would hate me for that. Classic in the 205 at Goodwood.
That's it. Yeah, I'm going to be...
And just to explain to listeners, I was going to say viewers, but listeners, explain to viewers, or listeners, sorry, that I've ridiculed Jamie on three occasions in the past, and it has all worked out spectacularly wrong for me, because the other occasion that we haven't mentioned, Jamie, is, of course, that infamous Champion Chase shout, where I think you... What price was it at the time? Was it 100 to 1 or something?
Yeah, Captain Guinness at the 100s, yeah.
Captain Guinness on a preview night in Dublin, he tipped it up at 100 to 1 and I was nearly going to walk out. I thought Jamie was after disgracing himself and disgracing his family. And lo and behold, Captain Guinness runs an absolute belter. So maybe Classic will win.
There you go. Classic may win. I'm going to nap at one at a price for 16 to 1 in the Bronte Cup Filly Stakes at York in the 3:15. I think Voodoo Queen will run a massive race each way for the Varian Yard. And that's it for another Racing Postcast. Always good fun flying through the top class weekend action. Big thanks to DJ Robbie and Jamie. Next weekend, Bruce will be back in the hot seat of a stellar cast to discuss the Derby at Epsom and probably the French equivalent on Sunday as well. Until then, enjoy the bank holiday weekend. Thanks for tuning in to the Racing Postcast.